You're tuned in to FalconCast. I'm Matt Moore next to Jay Adams and DJ Shockley. This is FalconCast.
This is it.
And listen, Shock, I want to let you know this. Here's how much steam FalconCast is picking up.
Talk to me.
We're getting a little cloud now that we've added DJ Shockley on the show.
I don't know about that.
Jay and I play old man adult league softball.
Okay.
One of the umpires during the game tells us he's a big fan of FalconCast.
No doubt.
I'm playing first base. I go out at the start of an inning, and he looks at me and he goes, "Are you that guy from the Falcon podcast?" I'm like, yeah. He's like, "Oh, I listen to you every week."
And then, I'm playing second base. I'm like a real lazy tag. Ooh, lazy tag, right?
Just lazy.
Huh? The guy is completely safe in my head. I'm like, "Ooh, I blew this one. What's my man do for us?"
Oh, he rings him up.
So thank you to our fans. We'll look forward to seeing you the next time we lose in softball.
That's what I used to do. When I played, I always, before the game, wanted to talk to the refs. Like, especially the back judge, dude. They get anywhere close, just throw
it. Yep.
So you guys are on the right path.
Smart.
Well, we got to discuss free agency, kind of the first wave last week.
Yeah.
But since then, there's been more moves. And, you know, it seems that it's just adding more pieces to this Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff, Scott Pioli blueprint. And I'm just going to start and throw it out there with Leonard Hankerson and get your thoughts. The wide receiver has some familiarity with Shanahan, correct?
Yes, he does. He played with him for 4 years over in Washington and played in that system. But, you know, I loved this kid coming out of college, and I believe it was the same draft that Julio.
The U, right, Sean?
The U.
I believe it was the same draft that Julio came out of. And we knew going into that draft that wide receiver would probably be a target. We didn't know in the months leading up.
You didn't love him as much as Julio, though.
Right. But,
but you loved him, though.
But we didn't know that we would trade up so much to go and get Julio. So Leonard Hankerson was a guy who was, like, on my radar just as a possible target. So I was really pleased when I saw that he had signed with us. I think this is a kid who's got potential that he has not reached yet. He was a stud coming out of the U, and I think – you know, a lot of fans in Washington kind of expected him to duplicate that same amount of success. He hasn't quite done that. Had an injury last year. But I've got nothing but high hopes for him. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, at 6'2", 211, he's a big dude. I mean, we're used to seeing big dudes around here play receiver for the Falcons, so that's what you're used to. And he's going to add, like you said, another piece that I don't think people have really seen him yet just explode. And I think he had a lot of pressure on him early. Everybody expected him to be the guy. I mean, he ran like a 4.4 or something like that. Didn't come out. Like you said, he's from the U, so everybody expects him to be fast. And with that big body, he can be physical. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, especially once you get around guys like Roddy and Julio. I remember just being around. I've been my first couple years. I'm in the room with Vic. I'm in the room with Shaw, and I'm just looking at how they carry themselves, how they go out, how they play, how they perform. The next year, there was Joy Harrington, Leftwich. I mean, there was so many different guys that you can learn from, but it's always about the people you're around, and I think the guys he's around, they're going to make him better, and they're going to bring that potential out of him. You see Julio running, making crazy catches. You want to be a part of the oohs and ahs, too, so I think – bringing him on is going to be a great, 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 great catch for the
Birds. And add Matt Ryan and Terry Obiskey.
And that's the thing I wanted to toss up to you is Leonard Hankerson's quarterback situation has been in flux in his entire career.
Right.
Now he comes into an organization where that position is all but set. I mean, Matt Ryan's the guy. There's stability there.
Yeah.
So how is that going to affect a wide receiver?
That's big because when a receiver knows exactly what the quarterback expects of him, then it's easier for him to go out and play. When you got a couple guys, like you mentioned, coming out, you got two or three guys throwing you the ball. You don't know if he's going to throw it on time. You don't know if he's going to throw you into the right zone or coverage. Then you don't play as fast because you're trying to make sure you get into the right spot so that they don't mess up or you don't mess up. It's just too much thinking going on. But you got a guy like Matt who's well-established, who will understand his offense to the fullest and can tell him, hey, this is what I expect you to be. He's shown, hey, I know different coverages. I know different zones. I know how you run. I know how these guys fit in these areas. This is where I expect you to be at certain times. And you have a leader like that, it's easier for a guy to come in and just find his role on this receiving core, on this team, to fit in very good. So I like being able to have a guy who can really establish him early like Matt does and establish the guys. And just being around Matt, that's kind of what he does. I mean, he is a true general on the field, and that's why he's a leader. That's why he's, you know, the leader of this franchise, because he knows how to make guys better. And when he's running that offense, he lets everybody know exactly what they're supposed to do. I remember in the Pro Bowl just this year, I mean, I'm sure everybody saw
An amazing
play. You know, they come to the sideline, it's the fourth down play, they got to figure out a play. You got Romo over here talking, you got, you know, everybody screaming, Michael Irvin, and Matt goes, hey, calm down. It's going to be all right. We got this. And that's just part of being a leader and a quarterback, and that's what you need, especially when you got new pieces coming into the park.
One of the most legendary stories about that is like his rookie year when Todd McClure, Mud Ducks yelling, and Matt said, hey, I got this. Mm-hmm. Everyone be quiet. Yeah. In a nice way. I think he said,
you've probably phrased it a little nicer than
I think I said G-rated what Matt said in the huddle. But hey,
especially took control. Yeah,
it took control and established what a leader he is. And I think, like you said,
it helps everybody around
when a receiver comes in and gets to play with two, you know, future Pro Bowl players like Julio and Roddy, and then a future, you know, Pro Bowl Matt Ryan. That's gonna do wonders for his career.
I think so. I mean, I know if I was in his situation, coming into a place where you've got an established receiver like Roddy White, a guy who has done what not many players do, you know, and spend an entire career in one place, accomplished. His name's going to be in the rafters one day. Right. You know, he's got a lot to pass on as far as knowledge goes. And then you've got Julio Jones, who's one of the top three, if not the number one receiver in the league right now. I would be really excited for a couple of reasons. One, there's a lot of knowledge that I can soak up.
No doubt.
From both of those guys. And number two, I don't have to be the man. I don't even have to be in contention to be the man. That's
exactly what I was thinking. Was there's no pressure. There's no pressure coming in.
I just got to come in and do my thing, and we're all going to be fine.
Right.
So I think that is a huge thing for a guy who's coming in and looking for a fresh start.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And then you know the news comes out that you lose Bobby Mack, Robert McClain.
Yeah.
He was one of our favorites. Great guy.
I miss him.
And kind of that guy, you know, your glue guy that you can
put him everywhere.
The word role player is so great for him. You can put him anywhere.
Yeah.
Special teams, nickel, either of the two corners. You lose him. You add a guy who just kind of my first reaction is kind of similar player as Robert McClain and Phillip Adams. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're going to see him do a lot of the same things. Now, you know, this is a guy who's been all over the place. He's played for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He's been in New York. He's been really just kind of all over the place. Can't really find a foothold on a roster. And I think when you get to this point, you know, you probably as a player are chomping at the bit a little bit to kind of get some stability. I think he's coming into a good situation as far as that goes. Now, as far as his versatility, he's shown that he can play outside. He can play the nickel spot. I think he's going to be the nickel guy. He's going to come in. That's going to be your guy, at least starting in camp. And I think Ricardo Allen is going to be right there in that competition as well. The thing I love about Phillip Adams is that he went to the Jets after Darrell Revis left. And he said, you know what? I want the number 24. And he wore it.
Not afraid
and
of
he
it.
Played really, really well for the Jets. And so I don't know. I just kind of root for a guy who's willing to step into some really, really, really big shoes and try to do his best at it.
As a defensive back, you got to have that confidence.
Yeah.
You got to have that kind of swagger about yourself, because you're going to get beat just like playing any other position, especially quarterback that I play. You gotta be able to have a short-term memory, get over stuff. And I think by you saying that, it makes me think about, this guy's not afraid of the big moment.
Sure.
And it's kind of the same thing with Hankerson coming in here. There's not going to be a lot of pressure on him. Obviously, he wants to find a place that he can be stable at, but he's in a position where he has to just come in and play his role. He got guys in front of him, you know, a true front and offer who, you know, are established themselves, played a lot of football for the Falcons, and they need that third guy to come in here. Kind of the same thing Bobby Mack did. If a guy goes down, you can play outside or inside, and he fits that mold. And, you know, he's got four career interceptions, so, you know, he can get after the football and make some plays on it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does, especially in this system. And like I said, he's in a position where he just has to go out and play, man.
It's fun listening to him and all the other people on the conference calls with the media. The first thing they say, you know, what made you want to come to Atlanta? What was intriguing? First thing is this Dan Quinn defense. Mm-hmm. I fit in well. It's going to make me better. and our team's going to be better.
I think the big thing when you look at Coach Quinn's defense is guys look at it and they understand the success that's been a part of it. And even if you haven't been in his system, you can watch the game and see they're not doing a lot. They're not doing a lot of crazy stuff. They just got guys who are running fast and flying around to the football, and he allows them to be him. And everybody kind of senses and says the same thing, that I want to play for a guy like that who's going to let me be me and go out and play my type of brand of football. And I think that excites everybody. That makes people want to come play for you. Yeah, I've kind of – it's kind of like people want to play with LeBron because, you know, he has a good time. He's going to win. And at the end of the day, you know what you get from him. And I think that's what they get with Dan Quinn. They know exactly what he's about and what he's going to bring to the table. And everybody wants to play for him.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think last week one thing the initial reaction for agency, where are the defensive ends? You know, we got some linebackers that are hybrids. Well, in the second wave of free agency, the Falcons surely addressed that with Adrian Claiborne and O'Brien Schofield, two guys that can definitely get after the after the quarterback. You know, Claiborne's an interesting one. We'll start with him just because first-round draft pick. He was something, you know, before the – am I right? Before the Falcons traded up to Julio.
He was,
he was all the mocks had Falcons.
That was going to be our guy, yeah.
Adrian Claiborne. And so you do a lot of research about him. Another – reason we knew him locally, he destroyed Georgia Tech in that orange.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had a great game. So that was always fun to watch. Chuck.
I don't know.
But, anytime you destroy Tech, for me.
But, you know, it's kind of has had some injury issues in the past couple of years. So, Jay, you asked him a great question yesterday on the conference call, and you can discuss this. Seems like he's hungry to kind of get back to being the dominant pass rusher that he can be.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his stats for 2014, it just shows games played, and it's one, and there's no other stats for that. I would say as a player who loves the game, who loves doing this, that's got to be a really, really tough thing to do, is to sit on the sideline for an entire season with an injury. And
dude, I could, 2007, when I tore my ACL.
Yeah.
You talking about the longest year ever, and I, you know, sitting up in the box watching the game. When I came back that next year in 2008, even though they just drafted Matt Ryan, gave him all the money, I knew he was going to be the guy, I was still chomping at the bit to come out and just be in the huddle, just to go on the field, to go to meetings, better participate, right? Yeah. You know, to be a part of it. And for a guy like him, who's a first-round guy, who's used to seeing some success, who knows that, hey, people still expect a lot from me, and not to do, like you said, only, you know, one stat for that whole year. He's going to be ready to go. And he's had time to rest. He's had time to sit back and humble himself probably a little bit and say, hey, this is my turn. This is my chance. I'm going to take a chance at this. And it's in the same division, so I know everybody here. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where he's not going to get used to being behind. I think he's going to be ready to go.
I know if I broke my tweeting fingers, I would be – on the sidelines, just right? I'd be like using my nose or something to like hack out some tweets. But it's got to be really, really hard for some of these guys to and you just perfectly described it as somebody who's been through it. The other thing with Claiborne that I think it's important to mention, you know, a lot of people look at his stats and say, well, he doesn't stack up to the expectations. Keep in mind, he played for a Tampa team that was constantly in flux. We're talking about some guys here who have not been in the most stable situations, right? You're coming in with a brand new head coach who's got a lot of expectations on him. Everything that we hear about this guy is he's a great guy to play for. Let's, before we judge these players on their past, let's see what Dan Quinn can do with them. Let's see what these guys can do with this guy with maybe some stability. You know, he's joining some familiar faces in Brian Cox and Raheem Morris. Of course, Raheem drafted him when Raheem was the head coach in Tampa. But I think Claiborne has another – he's another potential guy. Mm-hmm. Guy who hasn't reached his potential, but, man, it's still there.
And two things I wanted to add was a lot of people really question, okay, yeah, he's had the two injuries. Yeah, he's had that. It's part of football. It happens. Everybody gets hurt. Whether you know a guy's hurt or not, by the time the season's over, every guy in that locker room has probably had some type of injury. Some guys play through it. Some guys have major injuries. So don't play too much into this guy's had a couple of injuries. That's just part of football. It happens. So, you know, I know people worry about that, bringing a guy in who's had, you know, the injuries, but let it go. One other thing is, his first career sack. You guys know what his first career sack was?
I saw it the other day on YouTube.
First career sack versus Matt. Mm-hmm. It was a sack fumble as well. So I wonder if that'll be brought up at all.
Yeah,
my first career sack was versus you, buddy.
Maybe
that's what he's gonna say. I doubt it though. But
getting into O'Brien Schofield, though, I mean, just doing research on this guy, if you wanted to line him up at free safety, I think you could do it. I mean, he has literally done everything on the defensive side of the ball, and among the several things that we've heard Quinn preach since he's been here is versatility.
Oh yeah,
and this is a guy who has played every single position along the defensive line. He's played that Leo spot, which we're going to hear a lot more about. So I really think that this, obviously, there's a history there with Quinn. He played with him last year, but this is a guy who could really, again, he's got potential. He could break out. You know, let's see what this guy can do. I would classify him as one of the most underrated signings of free agency.
Someone compared his body type the other day to John Abraham. That got me a little
long. Long, yeah. He looks long. He looks rangy. And I was doing some research on him as well. And going back to even college, when he's at Wisconsin, he was ranked second in the nation in tackles for loss. So that means, you know, he's going to be in the backfield. Mm-hmm. And then he was second in the Big Ten in sacks. So he definitely knows how to get after the quarterback. You talk about his athleticism, where he can be anywhere. It's just like offensive linemen. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, cross training. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing with a defensive line. You do the same thing. You want guys who can play multiple positions for you. And that just it adds to the depth of your team, so you don't have to worry about having just one guy for one position that he can only do that. And you worry about, all right, if he goes down, I got to cut somebody over here in defensive backs or something that I may need because I got to bring another guy in. But he comes in, he brings that versatility, like you just mentioned, that helps his defense so much. And that's what Quinn is about, is having guys who can do multiple things, not just offense, but defense as well, who can help this team.
Hey, Shaq, what kind of competitive advantage does that give your team when you have a guy that can play a lot of different positions on the line, when, you know, a guard might be lining up and say, I didn't think this guy was going to play this position.
And as a quarterback, sometimes that's what we look at. We look at, okay, this guy usually lines up on the right side, and he's always blitzing from the right side, or he always lines up either in a five technique or a nine technique, and he's coming. Well, you got a guy who can line up anywhere. That's why I remember one year we were getting ready for Polamalu, and we said, okay, Polamalu, he's pretty much going to line up anywhere we want, but we know if we get man coverage and he goes across with him, then guess what? We got man coverage. Well, he comes up. We go in motion. He goes in man coverage. On the snap of the ball, he blitzes. This is something we haven't seen. So it's something that it adds a total wrinkle for a defense where you can line this guy up anywhere. And as offenses, we're all about point out protection. We're all about, okay, we got to go four down linemen to the Mike linebacker, or we got to go to this guy. If he moves all the time, it messes up your protection. It messes up who the linemen have to block. So there's a lot of different scenarios where it causes issues for the offense, and this guy can be anywhere at any given time. It's going to be issues.
That's good stuff, Shaq. I love hearing that. It makes me smarter when Shaq gets to explain things to me.
Hey, can we break some news here too? On the podcast.
Breaking news.
By the time we publish this, it's going to be official. So Jacob Tammy, the veteran tight end from Denver, signing with the Falcons morning. And we haven't done a whole lot of research on the guy, but just knowing the veteran leadership that he's going to bring, when he played for Indianapolis and Dallas Clark went down, he was nothing but productive mm-hmm. in that spot. And that's a hard guy to replace. He kind of played in the shadow of Julius Thomas in his years with Denver. But he's a blocking tight end, but he's also a good pass catcher. And he can do some things for Matt, I think.
You just named two guys that he played with, and Clark and Thomas, who had outstanding careers. Obviously, Thomas still playing everything. But the fact that he's been around that, mm-hmm. the fact that he understands exactly, I mean, the quarterbacks he's played with, I mean, come on, I mean, we only have to mention, but the guys he's played with, it only helps him. Now he's coming to a position where he knows that he's going to get the football. We know Matt loves throwing to the tight ends, and the fact that he understands exactly where to go. And I talk about fitting in zones and coverages so much because that's where a quarterback and receivers, tight end, have to be on the same page at all times, because on the snap of the football, things change so much. And if guys can see it just like the quarterback sees it, and that comes with experience, it comes with time. And Tammy's a guy who had played a lot of football, so mm-hmm. he will understand those small nuances that Matt likes to do. You know, we saw it so much with Tony G. I remember when I was here with Tony G, we would call a play, and he'd go run it, and it is not the route that we you know, said it was supposed to be. But at the end of the day, he found a way to get open, and him and Matt connected. That's just part of it. And if you had that type of relationship with a guy who's seen so much, we talked about Roddy and Julio and Hankerson. I mean, then you add a tight end there who can fill all those different voids that you can't cover everybody.
And, by the way, you've got Devin Hester, which can do a lot of different things with on offense. So, you know, the thing with Tammy that I've noticed is that he seems to be a bit of a red zone threat. He's not like a jogging. He doesn't have the size of a Levine Toilolo. It's not like you can toss it up there. But he's going to be a guy who can get open and fight his way into
the end
zone.
It's all about feeling. Yeah. Tony G was, we know, not the fastest guy on the field, but he always found a way to be open.
Creating separation.
Always found a way to be open. That's what it's about. I mean, you don't have to be the fastest guy, but you understand what they're trying to do to you. Come on. You're going to win.
So a big haul for the Falcons so far in free agency.
And I would like someone to do a Photoshop little contest with the Tammy. It's kind of the movie poster of the movie Tammy. That'd be kind of cool, right?
That movie was funny.
Spelled differently, correct? Yeah, you liked it? You like the first person I ever heard say they liked that movie.
It was funny.
I watched
that,
10
that
minutes.
That lady is crazy, man.
I was on an airplane this year. I was like, sorry. All right. This is a good transition to break with Bosek. And also, I want to give a shout out to the Canadian Football League fans. How about that? You know, a lot of love from the CFL, who member Bosek said, no fan base there.
Come on, now.
Kill him again.
And also, Bosek. I want to say this, Shock. You know, the Tie Cats, the Bakche boys, are just crushing Jay on Twitter.
They hit us up and they wanted Jay. The guy who's going to send Jay his kilt.
They're going to let me borrow a kilt.
But
I wanted to see you in the kilt this week.
But Chuck, I'm saying is, where's the love from the Eskimos and
The Eskimos
the Blue
group,
Bombers, man. What the Blue Bombers? Where you at?
The Eskimos group was trying to pull me in their direction. They didn't even bother with you guys.
That hurts, guys. Look,
so Tie Cats, I got nothing but love for the
I'm loyal to the Eskimos, but if you don't start coming with some love, I might have to start talking to the Tie Cats.
Box Shit Boys know how to treat a fella.
We got a lot of love from the CFL, but also guys were ragging on me last week about my vest, man. Guy said I look like Aladdin, man. He sounded like Aladdin with my vest on, man. It was funny. I gave his props. I laughed and said it was cool.
But this is when you know you've made it. When you get the haters, that's when you know you've made it.
No doubt. All right, that's a perfect segue to break with Bosek. Bosek, how are you doing today? What do you got for
us? Doing well, thank you. Today, Thursday, March Madness begins.
Yeah, baby.
It's a big day.
So everyone's talking about it.
Great set. I saw where, on average, the American workforce will lose $1.3 billion in...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Productivity. Just goes in the tank.
It's crashing.
Oh, it's bad.
Brackets. It's sneaking bad. In the TV at work.
Right around noon today, this will be obviously up before or afternoon, but the internet will just... completely slow down.
Oh yeah,
we have gotten a mass email from IT saying, "Quit
don't
streaming
stream
your game."
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Like you'd just be like, "I can't even like access this web page." And
that's how I am. I'm sure I'm like a lot of people in the world who watch it tournament time. Like I watch some here and there, but tournament time is when I really like.
It's always fun when your team's in it too.
Yeah,
we got the dogs.
Yes, we in it. We
the
in
dogs
it.
In it. And
State,
and,
Michigan
and,
State. What is that about?
Why are you hating?
What?
No, because Jay's team is on like.
I'm not hating.
Oh, okay.
Jay's team's on like.
We said no.
We're on a self-imposed probation.
Jimmy Boeheim's gonna be eating dinosaur burger, whatever.
Dinosaur barbecue.
Boeheim's gonna get out of there in 3 years. That's
listen, if you can't be in the tournament, dinosaur barbecue's the place to be.
All right, so Bosek, what are you asking? You asking for our final four here? Was that the question?
You read my mind, Matt. What's your guys' final four?
Shaq, give us your final four.
My final four is pretty simple, man. It's I'm gonna go. With Dukies, I like the Dukies. I think they're even though they had an early release, from the ACC. And then I'm going to Arizona, and I know Fina like this, so I'm going to go with Nova. I know, hate to hear Fina anything, but I like Nova. And obviously, the team that I think it was Rick Pitino or somebody said that Kentucky could probably make the playoffs if they were in the NBA. So I like Kentucky.
No underdog in your Final Four?
Nope.
Shaq's been watching too much sports.
Nope. Shaq. Watch what happens.
All right.
Jay, give us yours.
Well, national championship still goes to my Orange. Syracuse wins.
No way.
Syracuse finds a way to win it. Jimmy Boeheim comes through. During
Jim
the self-imposed probationary period.
They're not even there, but they're going to win it.
Comes
awesome.
Through with the national championship win.
Melo must be coming back.
But, yeah, so I've got Kentucky. Nobody's going to beat them. And Corey Peters, we miss you, Corey, already. But I know he's very proud of his team.
Cammy's a Wildcat, correct?
Yes, yeah. He is. So we got another Wildcat. But, you know, that team is just out of control. I got Wisconsin, Nova, and Gonzaga. Because I cannot, in good conscience, I cannot pick Duke. I refuse to pick Duke.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I've got UK and Nova in the final, and then Syracuse winning the national championship.
What's wrong with Duke?
What's wrong with Duke? Okay, so I grew up, my father is a hardcore UNC fan.
Well, there you go. That's why I don't like Duke.
So
you gotta take your emotions out of it.
Jerry raised me.
Take your emotions out
to not like.
Jay's emotional right now, so don't even think about his picks. He's too emotional right
now.
Because he's a UNC guy. Yeah, come on.
All right.
Are you ready for
Syracuse
this?
Syracuse wins it all.
Write these down.
He's coming with some.
I'm going Iowa State.
Wow.
I'm going
DJ Lash.
Yes.
Louisville.
Ooh.
I like that.
I'm going Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then I like to play the contrarian because
I don't like this.
Notre Dame?
I'm going Notre Dame. Nice.
Wow.
I knew that was coming.
Because
Irish.
Here's why I play. I kind of play the percentages here where everyone in the bracket isn't going to have Kentucky. So look, if I play the field and Kentucky somehow loses, if someone plays a perfect game, look, man, LSU had them on the ropes, Ole Miss had them on the ropes, Georgia had them on the ropes. It can happen.
And guess what? What happened?
All right. Now it's a little bit pressure.
That's like saying, we almost won.
I'm gonna have Wisconsin playing
hand grenades and horseshoes.
Wisconsin playing Louisville in the finals, and we'll take my man Kaminsky and the boys. For Wisconsin, cutting down the nets.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't care for your bracket at all.
Bracket is.
I do.
Okay. Who do you have?
Bosek. Yeah. Who do you like?
Bosek, what do you got?
All right.
He's not prepared.
Bosek's got.
I got Kentucky.
Valparaiso.
But I got Kentucky and Notre Dame in the Elite Eight, and I didn't. I wanted to play it safe and go Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah.
I got my Badgers in the West.
Okay.
South also had Iowa State beating Duke.
Wow.
See, we think alike.
And Virginia in the East.
Okay.
Well, there you go. So I'm sure everyone cares.
What's next? Virginia is not going to get by Georgia. So I'm just
Shock.
That's not happening. I mean,
if Georgia beats Michigan State first
there's
round,
no if.
That'll be amazing.
No if, Bosek.
When Georgia beats Michigan State first round, I'll be.
And by the way, I'm going to throw. I don't like to do this, but I'm going to do this. I was going to drive up there.
Oh, yeah?
Sure. Tickets. You got to get a mortgage out to get a ticket because Duke and Virginia in there.
Yeah.
So when Georgia wins tomorrow, I would like someone to invite me and Shock to drive up Sunday and join
them. Hey, guys, don't worry about it. Matt won't text you back anyway. So it's
oh, wow.
You know. That hurts.
We have just crossed
that
over.
That hurts. Get us to the next question.
Big time fear. Doesn't text me back. Who does that, right?
Oh, wow.
Who does that?
Shock, I would have texted you.
Bosek, next question.
All right. Here it is. Peanut butter and jelly.
Mm-hmm. What a baseball bat. I threw you off right there.
Peanut butter and jelly time.
Those are two great combinations of food. I want to know the best food combination known to man.
So this is just anything, not just, this is like
anything.
What two things go so well together that nothing can compete with?
I got two.
Go for it, Shark, because okay. I got nothing.
I'm going to go. You got nothing?
No, I got some.
I got what everybody likes when you're watching a game. Can't go wrong with some chicken wings and some fries. Okay.
I
love lemon pepper. I can't remember. Okay. I'm all about lemon
pepper. I do like lemon peppers.
And my last one, a good bone-in ribeye with an Oscar and a loaded baked potato.
Nah. Wow. Good stuff, Doc.
You're over here loosening your belt like
Oh, my goodness. I just gained 5 pounds, man. Oh. I'm done.
What do you got, Jay?
All right. I refuse to yield any ground on this. This is not debatable with me. You cannot reason with me that there is anything better than this combination right here, and that is pepperoni and mozzarella cheese. There is absolutely nothing better than that. Take it from me.
Yeah.
I'm an expert. I got a body built by pepperoni and cheese.
Now,
and
you're
it's
right.
Delicious.
I make a pepperoni bread. It's to die.
Pepperoni bread.
It's good. I'll bring it. Oh, I'll make it some.
So that's a good. I do like pepperoni pizza. I'm not gonna lie.
I but I the, You can try to argue with me on Twitter. I will not.
You guys
I will not be having it.
Send us your favorite stuff. Come on. Send it to
us. Because I've enjoyed the CFL contingent last week.
Yeah.
I'm going to appeal to the Canadians again. How about a little French fries, gravy, and cheese, baby?
Oh, yeah.
A little poutine, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, poutine's good, but it's not pepperoni.
No, but I will say this: I'm gonna be
you go,
gonna be
you,
real
you,
on this.
You go to the bathroom,
how about, How about? I'll say this by a sec. You can't go wrong with a little. I'll throw the chicken wings.
Come on, man.
And beer.
Oh yeah,
huh? That's good food.
They do go together.
Honorable mention. Pepperoni.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
Oh, all right, Brian. Did we have a video of the week? I loved last week's video of the week. I
got two.
The video of the week was really popular last week.
Everybody liked the video of the week. I liked the video of the week.
Yeah. Mom actually asked me about the video of the week. What was that guy trying to do? I said, well,
you're trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
What do you got, Brian?
All right. Let's see.
The brain.
Here's a pretty like a minute-long clip, but it's great.
It's great.
All right, but a sec. No.
All right, so I've not seen this. This is a guy on a stove. Oh, boy. Okay, so here's a classic grease fire.
Oh, he's going to show us how to put it out or not put it
no,
out.
No, that's not how you do it. You need salt or something, baking soda. You need a powder. No, you don't do this. This is not the way to do this.
Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh no! The panic has set in.
Now, Brian, I've seen this, and if you can translate, I think what they're saying is we didn't think this was going to happen. We were just trying to show a little fire safety.
How did you not know that?
And now the entire house is on fire.
So they actually live there?
Oh, look at...
Oh, that's terrible.
Okay, here's the weird thing. I have no sympathy for these guys at all.
He runs back.
They were in there boiling hot dogs, man, and they burnt them. Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I can save the fish.
That's good.
Why is that water... Oh, okay.
They might want to clean that fish.
All right, I thought that thing was a little dark.
Translation. That's not good.
That's
tell you that though.
Don't
do that.
All right.
So it was a grease fire.
Little fire safety. If it's a grease fire, you put some kind of powder on it.
Or extinguish, right?
Or extinguisher, sure. But the you don't put water on that. No,
don't put water.
You don't put water on that.
Bad news, Shaq.
It's a bad.
Next thing you know, you're
so glad I don't have that.
All right. Well, you got. I think you got one that kind of relates, correct?
Actually, I think I dropped the ball on this one. I don't think I have it right now.
Good. That's all
right.
So,
next week, Bosek, you have to tweet it out.
Your name is Brain, and you drop
Hey, you know what, though? Hey, it's the video of the week, so we lived through.
I didn't want two
videos.
I wanted one video.
One video. We're going to do two.
That's good stuff.
We only got one.
All right.
Throwing at the camera, Bosek. I might throw this at you.
Right.
That's fair.
All right. Falcon Cast was great. Shock, thanks for joining us. Jay, thanks for joining us.
Hey, I won't be here next week. So
what? Where are you going to be at?
I got a special guest for us, Shock. Coming.
I'm going home. I'm on vacation.
Go on vacation?
Yep.
Special guest next week. Yep.
Shock.
Man.
I got a special guest coming.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we'll have fun.
We'll be big.
Big time.
Big. I might lose my job.
All right, man. I'll be.
Thanks again.
Oh, hey, we got it.
For tuning in to this edition.
One for Bosek.
Bow! Perfect bracket right here, Bosek.
Boop!
Oh,
yeah. Bosek, are you kidding me?